Did you know?
Welcome to Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to another Fire Engineering Podcast, Networking for Success. I am your host, Dave McGlynn. And a little weird of a show again, which is what I love. Like every time I do one of these podcasts, it's always like an impromptu kind of thing. So I'm doing live from FDIC coming up here in, I don't know if I'm doing it Tuesday or Thursday. So anyway, so that'll be plugged on social media and I'll get that information out to everybody. But I had gotten an email from the fire engineering people and they're like, hey, we actually have you on the schedule for tonight, but if you're not able to do the show, that's fine because we know you're doing the live from FDIC coming up next week. And I thought, I got my son with me. My wife and my daughter went out to the store, and I thought, well, maybe I'll cancel. I'm like, nah, the show's coming up, right? FDIC is coming up. It starts Monday. It's huge. It's a huge event. And, I know that a couple of guys in the past, like Mike Galliano and Dugan, they had a show right before FDIC where they kind of plugged the FDIC and had some people call in. And if I had a little more notification or time on it, it would have been better that I could have gotten some more instructors to call in. But neither here nor there, it's still kind of like it would be a waste of time not to to have the show and to not have us talk about FDIC. So I put out a thing on social media. I gave the link. I also put the phone number out there for some people to call in. So obviously I have a couple callers now, so I'm going to bring them in a little bit. So I appreciate it. But, I just want to put out there, listen, guys, like all due respect, like I've always put this out there before. If ball breaking goes on in the firehouse, I got it. I'm number one at that. Everybody knows that. But with this, it's a higher magnitude. It's something that I'm fortunate to be part of. So I do appreciate anybody calling in and wanting to talk and talk shop and do whatever, but just try to make it a serious one. I know there's been some guys in the past that have unfortunately had these like troll callers call in and cause an issue on the show. And I'm not about that. My jersey straight will come out and I'll find out where you are and who you are and it'll be on, but neither here nor there. The show starts Monday, right? It's a huge, huge card and cadre of some of the best in the biz that are going to be there. Kicks off at 0800 on Monday the 25th. My buddy Steve Hamilton's going to be doing his active shooter class, and there's some others that are going to be doing other classes out there. Throughout the whole week, you got Dan Shaw, Doug Mitchell, Frank Ritchie, Jim Duffy, Mike Galliano, Mike Dugan, John Salka, Rick Lasky, Frank Viscuso, I'm losing my train of thought. Mike Champo, of course, I texted Champ before and asked him if he would have time to call in. I texted him and Bobby Holton, and unfortunately they're doing like a meeting tonight while I text both of them for the preliminary stuff for the FDIC show. So I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble when I get there, but no harm, no foul. I those guys, it's awesome that I have that opportunity to be able to text them. If they were able to talk about the show tonight, it would have been cool. But either way, I know that some people aren't able to go, and that's why we do the live from FDIC thing. So there's going to be that going on. So, tune in, look for the updates, everything like that. It's such a great opportunity to attend any of these training conferences, but this one in particular, because it's near and dear to my heart. They gave me a shot a number of years ago, and it's been surreal and great ever since. And I've always appreciated it. And, I like to try to advocate for them and take any opportunity I can, for them whenever I can. So that's why I didn't want to turn down the show. So, anybody that's listening, if you want to call in, you're obviously more than welcome. We'll talk shop. We'll talk about FDIC. The number is 760-454-8852. That's 760-454-8852. There's going to be a couple people calling in, and some of them are going to be instructors, some of them are going to be attendees. So the first one I'm going to pull in is the 913 area code, and I'm assuming I know who it is, but I'll bring you in anyway. So 913, who's this?
Hey, man, it's Mellon.
I knew it. Yes. All right, so that's Dave Mellon, everybody. He's an instructor out at FDIC. He's been an instructor for a number of years, and he had a run before. I texted him first, and then I texted him like a half hour ago. I'm like, hey, bro, I got a podcast tonight. If you could be on it, I'd appreciate it. It's at 7:30, and he's an hour behind me, so he's like, 7:30 my time or your time? I'm like 20 minutes. So I love you for being the loyal guy you are and calling in. So, you know, tell us about what you got going on, what you got teaching this week, and, you know, and some of your highlights about FDIC.
So first, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. Anytime you ask me to be on the show, it's always fun. And I'm on duty, so if we catch a run, I guess I'll just be talking to you while we're on the way. But I'm going to be returning to FDIC this year. I was lucky enough to put in and be selected. It is always an honor. And I'm super excited. This year I'm going to be doing a class called Transitional Search, Modern Views on Finding and Removing Victims. And this is actually something that is very near and dear to my heart because of the style of teaching that I have. You know, I don't teach just one way of doing something. So anytime we're talking about search, to me it was a foreign concept as to why we would do, you know, just an oriented search or just a vent inner search or just a right-hand, left-hand if the case dictates. Why are we not switching between those when it's necessary? And so one of the things that is not very often talked about is the reasons why you would do that. And so I actually put together a class that talks about the different situations and not only that, but how to change the culture within your department and your organization to look at those things, because that's something that has to be done from the back seat. It's something that has to be done from the incident command, company officer, all the way up to the chief, the safety officer. Everybody has to be on the same page. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We use the Firefighter Rescue Survey. They have been amazing at getting the information out there to us. And so we're going to use some of that information as well as some real-world scenarios where somebody had to start one type of search and ended up finishing or removing the victim a different way.
Yeah, nice. So I know I'm familiar with it. I know you touched a little bit on it, but if you could, one, I want you to tell the listeners what inspired you to teach that and why it is important if they're there to attend it. And then also make sure you plug when you're going to be teaching, you know, which day, what time, all that.
Yeah, so it's going to be Wednesday at 1:30. I believe it's room 107, 108. And, you know, the reason why it is important, I have had multiple searches, and I've been fortunate enough to make a few grabs in my career. And when we have gone and done those things, very rarely have they ended up just being, you know, go in, do a right-hand search, find the victim, turn around, go back out the same way. Almost every grab that I've had, whether it's been a human or an animal, we've, you know, found a victim or found an animal and we've gone out the window because the window was right there. And so you're kind of doing like a reverse vent inner search. We've started vent inner searches, gone out in the hallway, realized the conditions were better than when we entered. And we were able to make our way down the hallway and continue an oriented search and just finished up our primary search doing it that way. So to me, it was just kind of a normal way that we have always done it in my area. And so when I went to go teach, that made more sense to me. And so I started teaching other people. And what I quickly realized is that, you know, kind of as a fire service training culture, we don't do that. You know, we train individual skills or we train individual tactics, but very rarely do we talk about, you know, the different ways to mix them together. So, I mean, we do it in other respects. I mean, we do it in extrication. We do it in active shooter. We do it in a lot of different ways, but with search, it's not something that really gets done. So that was my motivation for doing it. And FDIC is one of the biggest stages that you can have in your own respect, both literally and figuratively, depending on where you end up getting put. So it was an awesome honor to be able to come and teach there and also to be able to have the students be able to take that information back to their own organizations and their own areas.
Yeah, sure. You know, we've talked before, you know, remember back in the day, because you and I are around the same age, so like back in the day that when they used to do the search thing, you know, remember they used to only teach you to grab the guy's ankle. Remember, it used to be like
right.
if he's doing a left-handed search, you grab his right ankle and you sweep the room and the explanation as to why we did that, it kind of made sense, especially at the time, but like everything else, we improve. I don't want to say that we change like in a negative way, just we improve. We find different methodologies. We find better ways, more efficient ways. And with efficiency, I mean safer, but more rapid, more thorough at the same token, where we're able to cover more area. And it's nice that a class like that exists. I said you and I had talked before about this, and it's just funny, like when we were coming up, that was the methodology. It was the only way. Like if you searched, it was a team of two, and that's how you searched. And you were getting yelled at by your instructor if you let go. God forbid you let go of your partner's ankle. I had an instructor from Irvington, New Jersey. I remember screaming at me because I had kind of branched off, and it was a larger room. And he's like, you don't let go of your partner's ankle. And I'm like, I guess, man. Like, I mean, he can hear me. I can hear him. I think we're all right, But. But at the time, who was I? I was just a probie.
Yeah. Well, and I'll ask you this, and if any of the other listeners know, maybe you can bring them in. But do you know where the right-hand, left-hand search came from? Do you know why that was the tactic that was chosen?
No, I don't. But real quick, so I had a couple other people on, and when I had put out the disclaimer about like how some people troll and I will find you because your number comes up on here if you're trolling me. And they hung up. So. So I'm glad that message was received loud and clear. So right now
That's
it's
awesome.
Me and you. Like I said, I got some feelers out there for anybody. I know a couple people were texting me that they're listening in, but they didn't call in, which is okay. But no, I don't know the answer to that, so I'd love for you to share it.
Yeah, so everything that I've done in my research and everybody that I've talked to from the publications, and I've talked to multiple people that are retired now from different publications, the right hand, left hand was because, a long time ago, the radios were sparse, right? The company officers and the incident commanders had radios, but nobody else did. So the idea was that if the crew went in and did a left hand search and they didn't come back out or something went wrong, the rescue team or whoever's looking for the other group of firefighters, you say, hey, go in and hang a left and eventually you'll find them. Well, that doesn't hold up in 2022. I mean, we have radios, right? I mean, oriented search is a thing. And so, when we talk, I always laugh because still to this day, when I go to community colleges and I up until a few months ago, I taught at a community college and they were still teaching hold ankles and do a right hand, left hand search and don't come off the wall unless you absolutely have to. And, it's gotten better. I mean, that was in the beginning, but now, moving forward. It's very interesting to see different areas geographically and how they do search, because some of them are still on the right hand, left hand only and only holding ankles, and others are voice contact, radio contact, and so on.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it is also a geographic thing. I won't disagree. Where I had come up was the Northeast, and everything that we did was emulated and mimicked and replicated and mirrored to what FDNY was doing, which is no harm, no foul. Like, they run the most calls. They have the largest department. They're out there doing it, and I know that. And you and I both have some good friends that are on the job out there. I'm not denying what they do. But it was
sure.
Just where I grew up, it was unfortunate because – that was the only way we learned. And some of that isn't always applicable outside of your metropolitan city area. So when you're in, a rural or even a suburb that isn't overly populated or overly built up, some of those skills or methods aren't always the pertainable methodology, or applicable methodology. So it was nice for me in my career to have branched out and been able to go, up to New England, where I was in Maine and then going down to Pennsylvania and doing some different skill sets with the military and then the local areas and then, full circle going back up to New York where we were literally, over at West Point, we were doing everything FDNY was doing. But it was nice because it gave me a better perspective on things that I could introduce to them which was nice that they were able to implement. But it also was a nice refresher for me of the stuff that I had grown up on, you know, and how some of that does still work. Some of that kind of down and dirty, rugged, aggressive style, you know, it still worked. So it was nice because then I was able to bring it where I'm at now, and kind of marry those multiple, I guess, styles and methodologies into the plant and the program now, where guys are getting more than just one option, you know. So that's why I like that you're doing that class. And for full disclosure, you know, Dave is like, you're my brother. You know that. I always tell you that every time we talk. I love you. But like, you know, you're teaching the exact same day and time as me, and I'm still telling
right.
people like, if you're coming to my class, it's hopefully because you're either aspiring to be a training officer or you're currently a training officer. But go to Dave's class. You know, like Dave, I'm not just saying it because I love you, but like, you know, normally you know how this business is. Like, they'd be like, oh, well, you know, I didn't know you were teaching the same time as me. Like, no, man, like your class, I actually hate that I can't go to it. You know, I know
yeah.
Scott, he'll probably bounce back and forth between mine and yours because, you know, of that loyalty he has for both of us. But like, you know, that's the one thing I don't like is that I'm not going to be able to see it firsthand. But I'm telling you, just to the audience, I know you got great stuff. I know you're overly passionate about it, you know, and any nuggets that people can pull from you and the class is well worth it. You know, I mean, it's worth your investment to go.
That dude, that's hilarious because honestly, I just had a conversation with a good friend of mine, who lives up in Nebraska, and he was talking about how he was going to come to my class, and he is actually in the process right now of becoming his department's training officer, the training officer that was there before retired. And so he is moving up. And I said, dude, don't come to my class. I got a class for you to go to. And so I'm sending them to your class. So it's, yeah.
Awesome.
It's definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point, and I did want to touch on this. Do you have any other callers, or is it just me and you still?
No, not yet. I'm like I said, I'm getting text messages, but I guess some of the guys are timid to call in, and I'm okay with that. I appreciate them listening.
Pris
Borowski is going to be calling in, but in about 20 minutes.
Okay, good. Yeah, Steve's good.
Yes, so you got time.
But no, one of the things I wanted to say is up in Nebraska, we did a class, you know, for Valor Fire Training, and we go all around the country and teach. And so we've had a great connection with some departments up in Nebraska, which is where I'm originally from. And so we were in central Nebraska. There were a lot of smaller departments from around this area that had come together to host a class. And when we got up there to teach this search class, there was a gentleman who was like 6'6", big brawny dude. I mean, he looked like a lumberjack, and he had the most awesome beard I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was super conflicted on, you know, like there's the NFPA standard. And I said, like, okay, how long has this guy been on the department? And they said, oh, he's been on for like 7 or 8 years. And I said, okay. And I said, I'm not going to make him shave his beard because I got to be honest with you. If I leave tomorrow, he's just going to grow it back, and I'm not going to be there when he does firefighting stuff anyway. And so we kind of had a joke going that, you know, hey, look at this guy with this big, beautiful beard, and he's folding it up and putting it in his mask. I got to be honest with you, brother. He did the most beautiful vent inner search I have ever seen in my entire life. And, you know, this is after we had gone through skills acquisitions, and we're actually in live fire now. And he dove in head first, found this 185-pound mannequin, brings it to the window, shoves it out, leans up against it. He's yelling for them to bring the ladder over to the next window. And I asked him, I said, why did you put the victim out the window? Because we hadn't gotten to that point yet. And he goes, well, it just makes sense. They need air, right? Like, I have an air pack on, they don't. And I said, okay. I said, where'd you learn that? And he goes, dude, I go to classes all over the country. And it just kind of hit me because I was like, man, here I am sitting there worrying about this dude having a full-on, you know, Duck Dynasty beard.
Right.
And I would put him up against, you know, and he's in a town of like 800 people. And I think they make about 150 calls a year. I would put that dude up against guys that I know in your area. I'd put him up against guys in Oklahoma City, Kansas City, anywhere. I mean, that guy was doing it. And so it's nice to be able to see that the we're winning in the fire service in that respect. And so it's just so cool to see people doing things like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, that's the whole judge a book by its cover thing. So, like, not to pick on that particular individual. So, like, I always have a disdain for it. You know, one, so it's kind of hypocritical. So it's like a twofold thing. So, like, one, I hate shaving. So any chance
right.
that I don't have to shave, I won't. You know, like, I think remember last year, I don't think I shaved the entire week of FDIC. And people were breaking my balls about it, you know, like, oh, you know, like, you going to shave before you teach your class? And I'm like, nah, like, I don't have to. I'm not at work. You know what I mean? Like, why would I shave my beard? Like, I get to grow it this week.
Right.
So, you know, I love having a beard, but then I do hate when I go on scene and I see, you know, those yucca bucks is what I call them. you know, not shaved, having some full Duck Dynasty style, you know, fill. Or ZZ Top type of beard. But to add to it, you know, I'm judging a book by its cover. I am, you know, I'm not going to deny it. But then I also will see that they pan out to typically be yard birds than anything else. So it is a nice story to hear your experience with this individual is, you know, that's the other thing is like, we're so quick to want to judge somebody based off of like, you know, how they look or something like that. And, you know, then you go and find out that the dude's pretty good. You know, we have some young guys in the department I'm at now. And, you know, I'm always about willingness to learn and appreciation that you are on the job because it's not an easy job to get. And we got a young kid, we got a few young kids, you know, so I'm not going to pick on any of them particular and leave them out. But one I'm thinking of is I remember when we interviewed him, he left, and the chief wasn't in on the interview, but he saw him walking out, and him and the secretary were in the station, and they said to me, how old was that kid? And I'm like, he's 20. And they're like, oh, he looks like a 13-year-old boy. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I know. He does. He looks like a child, you know. And he's got these big old ears on him, you know. I call him a taxi cab with the doors left open, you know. And the kid is very green. You know, he's been around the fire service since he's been a junior, but you know, he went through the VOTEC and the junior fire academies and all that, but he's very green. Like, he's never pumped or drove a fire truck. He's never pumped a fire. His first real fires that he's been in has been with us. But he always is willing to put in the work. You know, we will do the scheduled training, and then in the afternoon I'll see him out there with one of the guys that – you know, is newer to our department, but senior in the fire service, and they're throwing ladders, and, you know, and the kid never tells me no. And, you know, we just put him through driver operator. We put a number of them, like five or six of them through driver operator the past 2 weeks. And, you know, most of the guys that were in it were already volunteering. They were already driving somewhere, and this kid never did. And he was in that book. He was taking notes. He was just very attentive. You know, so I really appreciated, and I still appreciate, like, his willingness to be a sponge, you know. So, like, judge a book by its cover, right? You see this kid, and he's super green, and he, you know, he's never really been in a fire before, and he's got these big old ears, and he's got a skinny long neck, and he's 20, or now he's 21, but he looks like a 13-year-old kid, you know. And he's going to be that guy. I know he is. I'm confident, because he's so willing to just soak it all up, like the guy you were just talking about. You know, he said, dude, I go to classes all over. You know, it's like that's huge. You know, like, you can't just sit there and look at somebody and decide, oh, I'm going to cast this person aside because they probably suck just by the looks of them. Willingness to do it, willingness to learn more, willingness to put in the work, you know, those things are huge for me. So, you know, especially me. I mean, I have a face for radio, so you know, so you know, I'm big. Yeah, you're a better looking man than me. You got a beautiful head of hair. I lost all mine. No, but you know, like, it just, you can't, you know, in this business, we shouldn't, especially us as instructors, you know, we should not judge books by its cover, because the same thing, they came to see us. You know, physically, if you look at me, I'm not the guy that you would think that you should hear anything from. But they still came with it, you know, with an eagerness to see what they could get, and that's kind of important. So I touch on that because it was a really cool story that you shared. It's just, that's something that we kind of fail at is we oftentimes we judge a book by its cover, and we prevent them from being able to showcase their abilities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and you and I have talked about this before in other venues and also on this show, but you know, having a mix, especially at FDIC, I mean, there are people from all walks of life. There are contract firefighters, there's government fire, you know, DOD, there's rural, urban, suburban, there's people from other countries. And so it's so amazing to be able to present your material to those individuals. And one of the things to kind of go along with that, I mean, you know, there are people who are career who don't like volunteer departments. There are people who are volunteer who don't like career firefighters. And so, you know, I've traveled, and very early on in my career, I remember going to all these smaller departments to pick up a class wherever somebody was teaching or wherever the state was doing a class, and just seeing kind of how they operated. And then when I started teaching, I remember going to a department, and I'll never forget this. We were sitting in the day room, and it's, you know, a small meeting room. It wasn't anything crazy. The fire station was more of like a Morton building. And the fire chief was talking about this article that they had just had framed and put up on the wall. It was from 1979. And it was a newspaper article in a small volunteer department. And the fire chief at the time made the statement that they would always fight the fire from the inside, and that they would, that the citizens didn't have to worry because they would always come to get them no matter what. And I was blown away by that, right? Not because it was a small department, but because I'd been to so many other bigger departments that didn't even have that in the newspaper from their chief. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it blew me away. So I've never, you know, I don't teach just for combination departments or just for volunteer departments or just for career departments. I teach firefighting. That's it.
No, exactly. And that's, you and I talked about this, is with the instructor part. We got a caller, so I'm going to pull them in a second. But with the instructor part is also that is, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself. You want to be able to be able to give multiple things, but at the same token, don't do something that you shouldn't do. You know, don't teach something that you shouldn't teach, you know, because you're only going to bastardize the fire service. Before you reply on that, I'm going to pull in who we have calling in just to see who it is and what they got. So I got a caller with a 408 area code. So go ahead, caller. What's your name and where are you from? What are you calling about?
Hey, brother. Steve Przybrowski calling from San Jose, California. How are you doing, sir?
Praise. Look at that. All right.
I'm a
the
few minutes
is,
early,
you know,
but hey.
I don't memorize your guys' phone numbers. They're in my phone. So when they come up on the switchboard here, you know, I don't know who it is, you know, so. Oh, that's awesome. Chief, praise calling. Get in there.
I was told to be prompt, so I'm prompt. What's the old saying? If you're on time, you're late, and if you're early, you're on time. So,
yeah, Lombardi.
There
time,
I am.
Yeah.
Awesome. I caught very little of your conversation, but it sounded like some good stuff you guys talking about.
Yeah, thanks. That's real quick before we dive into it. I want to tell you both, listen, you know, it means a lot, and I want the audience to understand, you know, these are two people that, you know, they have busy lives. They have their own personal lives. They teach at FDIC. They write. They teach all over. And, you know, I appreciate you guys calling in. I had gotten the email telling me that I had the show tonight, and they were like, hey, sorry, like, you know, we kind of didn't schedule it correctly. But, you know, if you're able to, cool. If not, don't worry about it. And I'm like, nah, you know what, I'm going to do it, because it's right before FDIC, and I'll text a few of my buddies and see, you know, who's available to call in, and it means a lot that both of you called in, so I do appreciate that. You know, just it means a lot, and it's great for the audience to hear, too, you know.
Oh, my pleasure. Who else do I have the honor to be on with?
You got Dave Mellon is on also.
Oh, hey, Dave. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, it's going good, Steve. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Likewise, brother. Dave, you too.
Yeah, thank
Dave,
you. Yeah,
Dave.
So Dave and Dave. That's I told Mellon that we're gonna create a show. We're gonna create a show. We're gonna call the Dave and Dave Show. Yeah, that'll be good.
Looking forward to FDIC next week. It's gonna be a blast.
Yeah, Yeah, man, it's huge, and that's what, you know, me and Mellon were just talking about, you know, his course and what he's going to be teaching and the importance of that, and then just some of the people that we meet, you know, throughout the country. And, you know, Chief, you know, Mellon, first of all, listen, like, if you don't have to get off, I don't want you to get off because I want you to chime in, you know, because it's all good stuff. Obviously, if you got to go, you're out. You're on the clock. I got it. But I don't want you to leave if you don't have to is where I'm going with this.
I'll hang out. I'm just going to mute it, and if we catch a run, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you. But chime in whenever, Dave. Chief, you know, if you don't mind, you know, tell us what class you're teaching, when you're teaching it, you know, and what it's about.
Awesome. No, thanks for the opportunity to plug my session. So this year I'll be doing the 2022 Fire Officer, Are You Up for the Challenge? And when I say fire officer, obviously the target audience is company officers, lieutenants, captains, whatever your rank is, but also battalion chiefs, shift commanders. So the 2022 Fire Officer, Are You Up for the Challenge? And I think really my whole focus, and the class will be Friday morning at FDIC from 10:30 to 12:15. So 10:30 to 12:15 Friday, I think it's room 234 and 235. So really looking forward to that. And my whole focus is for those that are want to be company officers and or shift commanders, you know, give some exposure to the challenges of the positions of both those positions, you know, managing a firehouse, let alone managing multiple firehouses. So talk about the challenges. We'll discuss best practices. And those that are current company officers or current chief officers that maybe want to just, polish their skills a little bit, add something to the discussion, or maybe learn something new, which is all great, you know, some things as well, because that's the whole goal is to try to, you know, share some nuggets, hopefully with all ranks, all levels of experience from all types of departments, and hopefully have a good discussion from those that are, you know, that I'm fortunate to be in attendance with. So I'm really looking forward to that because, you know, every year I've been doing this class for a number of years. Obviously, I try to shake it up a little bit and talk about current events that are going on, that have been going on, but also still important, because I think it's something that we really struggle with around the country. When I say what we struggle with is a number of topics, but especially that leadership for the company officer. And it's not, you know, it is leadership. I know this is a very generic term, but leadership, succession planning, mentoring. We're going to talk about all those things, team building. You know, we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, it's always fun to have a great discussion with those that are, you know, that those that are going to be there. So that's going to be the whole focus. And I'm also going to be signing my latest book from Fire Engineering Books and Videos, 101 Tips to Ace Your Promotional Exam, which you were very kind enough to write a couple pages for. I appreciate that. I'll be doing some signings, I think, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the booth with a lot of the other authors. And then I'm also very honored that Fire Engineering has given me a contract for a second book, Courage Under Fire Leadership, which will be a good general discussion on leadership best practices. So I'm still working on all the stuff behind the scenes on that one, so that won't be ready in the near future. But just have a good discussion. So long story short, that's what I'm talking about. So fire away.
I love it. So what's funny is you mentioned about not having enough time. So I want you to respond to that first, Chief. And then, Mellon, while I still got you on, after Chief Priz is done, I want you to talk about it because it's something I had just noticed with you know, me putting together my program and everything. So, you know, Chief, just the whole hour 45 slot, it's funny. Like, I remember when I first started teaching, you know, and I posted this on Facebook a few weeks ago. I remember when I first started teaching and I got the opportunity to go there, I didn't think I had enough content. Like, I'm like, oh, no, like, you know, am I going to be able to make it? Am I going to be able to drag it on? And, oh, you know, are they going to like it? And now I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm going through my slides and I'm like, I have to remove some stuff. And I find myself adding more, and I'm like, no, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. So if you don't mind, you know, touching on that, it's just the what you go through as an instructor as you build the program, as it develops, but then also trying to tailor it to that hour 45 window or 2 hour window, whatever you end up getting, you know.
Well, it's still hilarious that you mentioned that because I've been fortunate to be presenting, obviously, across the country, but especially at FDIC since, I think, 2009, so it's like my 13th, whatever the math adds up, year. And I agonize that every session, whether it's an hour 45 or the pre-con classes I've done 4 hours, I always agonize, and I think hopefully that's a good sign that I'm in good company, but I always have worried over the years that I will never have enough. And I've presented probably, got it. I mean, 300, 400, 500 sessions around the country in the last 20 plus years. And I've never had that problem, which is hilarious. And it's funny because about a month ago, I made a, I made a pact with myself that I wanted to have the presentation done, put a fork in it, and just not stress over it. And of course, what happened this last week or so, more stuff pops up where I'm like, oh, I want to add that, or I got to delete that. And I see people posting that right now on social media about, you know, the agonies they're also going over fine-tuning their presentations, and I just sort of chuckle. It's like, I know it won't be a problem, and I'm going to, you know, I don't want to rush things either because I want to make sure we have good discussion, but it is hilarious that I think we all go through that, you know, at some point or another. But
yeah, I take joy in knowing that we're not alone in our problems, you know.
And again, I try to add things new, but obviously there's good things that I think are worth talking about time and time again, but it is just sort of hilarious where it's like, you know, I'm going to be sitting there probably looking at that clock. Not on purpose when you're in class. You try to casually glance at your watch or whatever, and then it's like, holy crap, I've got But I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I agree. Melon, same question to you, brother. You know, like I guarantee that you found yourself, you know, going through those same emotions, and so if you want to touch on it.
Yeah, so it's actually really funny, and this is nothing that I have not said to, you know, Diane or Bobby or anybody else that I've talked to, so it's not like I'm trying to hide it. I am probably the most organized procrastinator you have ever met in your entire life, outside of the
That is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. So like, I'll be 100% honest. I'm still not completely done with my presentation for FDIC. I've been adding. I've been taking out. I've been going back to the slides that I took out a week ago and looking at them again. And I guarantee you, I'm going to be looking at that presentation until 1 o'clock in the morning the night before my presentation. It's just and maybe, you know, like I've been in I've had the opportunity to sit in both of your classes, and I think our teaching styles are very similar. You know, I want the content to be there and I want people to see things, but I'm really big on putting a picture to illustrate my point and not just having bullet points, right?
Yes.
And so there are times where, you know, I will change up the presentation depending on where I'm going. So it's more applicable to what they're doing. But yeah, I am just as nervous and excited as I was the first time I taught a class every time I go teach, because it's always new to me. The content is the same, but the delivery is going to be different because I might have changed a story or I might have changed a slide. And so it kind of keeps it exciting.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, something happens during, even if it's the same slide as it was last year, right? Something happened in our careers or in our lives since the last time we taught that you know, we have a new story for that slide. You know, it's like I had a slide. I've always had a couple different slides on there because they're relevant to the program. And as I'm going over my spots the other day, I'm looking at it, and I just start thinking like, well, I'm going to talk about this, and it's something that we literally just started going through. Where I work now, you know, where we're kind of tight on funds, and we got essentially Rob Peter to pay Paul. And I'm like, you know, like this is actually very applicable to the class that I'm doing and I'm going to talk about literally in this moment now. I'm living through this and I'm finding ways to try to network with people to get whatever I can to keep the program building, you know. So it's just funny, like, how we stress and we have that anxiety, but it keeps fresh, you know. I think that's kind of the cool thing about being an instructor is if you're true to it, you know, you stay kind of engaged and up to speed, and the material stays relevant, you know.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head because there's thousands, millions of instructors out there. We've all seen a variety of them around the country, and you know, I think all of us try to learn from others and also try to improve upon what we do. And you know, we've all probably sat through some of those classes throughout our career where maybe it's canned material because it's coming from the state or coming from the, I don't know, like National Fire Academy, where they don't have a lot of flexibility. And I don't know, I think we're all wired the same way, at least the three of us, where it's like, to me, it's like squirrels. Something pops up, even if I have something done, like Kate was mentioning, it's like the night before, I'll have an epiphany because of either something I think about or I see on social media or maybe a conversation that I have. And it's like, oh, shit, I got to add that in there because I think it's relevant, you know. And, again, it's probably not the end of the world if we don't. But I think that's the good part about people that, I don't know, I guess strive for just making things better, whether it's rearranging things, the flow of things, adding things, deleting things. And sometimes the audience that you have, something may not work, even though it worked last week or last session. And I think that's – it's a good problem to have, I think, but it's – I think it's also good that we don't rest and just say, hey, you know what, that's the program, and I'll touch it once a year, you know, and that's about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and my wife, I got to give her props. She's a saint because, first off, she puts up with me, and she's the mother of our two beautiful sons. But she is a first-grade teacher, and it absolutely – like, she'll call me the night before I do a presentation at FDIC every year, and she goes, hey, what are you doing, honey? And I said, oh, I'm just, you know, finishing up my presentation. And I, and she goes, what do you mean you're finishing up your presentation? Why weren't you done with this 6 weeks ago? And I said, babe, you've known me for a long time. This is how this always works. And so, you know, like the last year, or well, it was in August when we were there, she called me and she asked me what I was doing. And I said, oh, I'm changing the background on my slides. I just didn't like the layout and the format. And she goes, you're changing your entire slide format? And I said, yeah, just it didn't look right. So I'm just redoing it. She goes, you're nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to be – so I fly in Sunday – or Monday, I mean. I fly in Monday, and I'm going to be – I do this every year. So it's difficult with my kids, you know, because they're young, but I always teach it to my wife. And this time I'm going to actually have Michael and Angela sitting in the living room while I teach it. And I feel like if they nice. Like it, then it's going to be a success. But if they're turned off, then I got to figure a way to try to start juggling pins or something to keep everybody engaged.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. I think that's a great test run.
Yeah. My son's back here right now. He hears me talking about him because I'm here with him, and he's knocking on the floor just to get my attention. Aren't you? You want to say hi? You could say hi to everybody. Now you're being shy. You make all the noise, now you want to be shy. I got it.
That's how it works.
Yeah. No, but it, you know, so if you guys don't mind, you know, just so I don't want to keep you guys both, like, again, you know, I really appreciate you both calling in. I know it was like a last-minute thing, but if you don't mind, you know, Dave, I'll start with you because you've been on the longest, so I don't want to keep you too long. And then, Priz, if you want to follow up with it,
yeah.
You know, just tell the audience why they should go to FDIC, what's important about FDIC, and maybe just your own experience, like what you love from it, what you take from it, what you look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will try to keep this short-winded. So, you know, the first year that I went to FDIC was the first year that I taught at FDIC. I was not fortunate enough to be in organizations that would send me. And to be 100% honest, I couldn't afford to foot the bill on my own. And so for me, when I got to FDIC, I mean, it was like, you know, you hear stories of people, you know, hitting Manhattan in New York and just being blown away, right? And so, you know, it was twofold because I was walking into rooms of instructors that I have looked up to as mentors and educators for my entire career, and realizing that I'm teaching on the same day as that person. And so it was really, really cool. But as I went through the conference, you know, because we only do an hour and 45, or if you're doing hands-on class, it's at the very beginning or a pre-conference, and then you have the whole rest of the week to go experience the conference. And I will say that out of all the conferences that I've been to, whether it's a micro conference or a bigger conference, FDIC absolutely 100% has anything you want to find. It has every niche that you could ever want to. If you're a firefighter, paramedic in charge of an ALS medical program in a suburban fire department, you can find a class on that. You can go look at the vendor show and find, you know, if you're on an apparatus committee, you can go look at all the new innovations. And the social aspect of it in the evenings is almost equally as important, and it's awesome, you know, to be able to go out and go to the Brotherhood Bash, to be able to go to some of the vendor events, and network with people. So it was really cool for me when I first went, and every year that I've been since, It's only gotten better every single time because I can go, and if I'm doing, like, 1 year I went and I was the interim EMS chief for a department, and so I was more focused on ambulances and EMS stuff because that was directly applicable for me. But then another year I went and we were on a spec committee, and so I was looking at very specific things from all the different manufacturers. So they really do have something for everybody, and the people are just great people to be around.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's the other thing, is being able to take it all in while you're there, you know, before or after you're done teaching, trying to pop in and sit in as many as you can. I agree that you try to soak in the opportunity as best you can.
Yep.
Chief Priest, same thing for you.
Well, I mean, Dave had some awesome points there. It's funny you call it the Manhattan Factor. I just almost look at it like the Times Square, which is part of Manhattan. You know, it's like when you're at Times Square for the first time, and it's like that not the deer in the headlight look, but it's like the mouth dropped open going, holy crap, this is friggin' amazing. And that was my first time in 2006. I had heard about FDIC, obviously. I mean, I've been reading fire engineering since, you know, long before I was a firefighter, and hearing about it, reading about it. And it wasn't until it's like, you know what, I want to get out there, you know, for the first time. And it just blew me away. And as I tell people, because a lot of times people go, well, I've never been there, you know, should I, shouldn't I? And I try to share, as you know, we talk about the Super Bowl of events, you know, for fire service stuff. And I go, you don't know what you don't know. And it's usually that first year. I was telling somebody recently, I go, it's almost like your wedding day, because like we all remember on our wedding day where it's like, it speeds by like that, and you don't pretty much remember talking to anybody just because, like, holy crap, oh, you were there and blah, blah. I hope I didn't disrespect you. But, you know, it's just that's the whole week, you know. And obviously, if you're there for the full week, the 2 days for the pre-con, Monday, Tuesday, and then the 3 days for the classes, and then obviously Saturday for the closing of the expo hall, you know, you can't get through everything. I mean, it's just that amazing factor that every year I just get blown away by how big it gets, but also like all the things Dave mentioned, you know, just the relationships that you can build and maintain, the people you get to meet. You know, sometimes, I mean, you always meet people for the first time there, let alone hang out with people that you haven't seen for a long time, if not see regularly. So it's just that it's got something for everybody, and whether it's classes, whether it's the expo hall, whether it's just people, it's just a very overwhelming thing that you got to almost pace yourself for the first time, even for the people that have been a number of times like we have. It's just making sure you're organized to make sure you can hit classes that you want to see people you want to see, and you may not get to everything, but it's a good problem to have, you know. So it's just really energizing to come and go every year, for me at least. So, and I think we all probably feel the same way.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. You hit the nail on the head. It's the same thing, you know. Same story. I was never able to attend. I was always aware of the conference, and just I didn't have my department couldn't send me, or I couldn't get the time or the money together to do it. And my first time attending was when I was able to teach, and I had been putting in to teach there for a couple of years prior to. And when I finally got accepted, I was like, oh man, like it was awesome to be accepted to be able to teach, but I was so much more interested in the fact that I could attend. You know, that I flew in on Sunday. I had paid for some of the 4-hour workshops, you know, just so that I could go to them, you know, and it's just,
I got to get off.
Oh yeah. Go ahead, brother.
All right,
I'll see you soon. Be safe.
See
love you,
brother.
Thank you.
All right,
you.
Guys.
Love
see you next week.
All right. See you, buddy.
No, but you know, just on that whole thing, you're 100% right. You know, it's just you take in as much as you can. I always say, like, at the end of the week, it sucks because it's like it goes by so fast. It's one full week, but you know, you hate to say goodbye to everybody. But you know, not to sound cliche, but it is like just tonight. You know, look, you and I met at FDIC. You know, and you have been a great brother and you know, and truly a mentor, you know, and I always, you know, because we've talked, I emphasize on the truth of using the word mentor, because I always feel like it's used so damn loosely. Like, I literally call you for the past couple years now about almost anything I'm going to be doing and ask you for advice. You know, that's a mentor, you know. So I appreciate that, you know, and it's just like, that's the beauty of what we do out there is, well, yeah, I know that, you know, because that's the person you are, but like, that's the beauty of it, is like you meet these people who become lifelong people in your life, you know, like they just, you become friends and family basically with these people. That I always, you know, I love the expression "see you in April." It was weird last year because we did it in August, but it, you know, it was just, I do, I love that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just, it's like the family reunion, you know, for a lot of us. Like we get to get together again, and, you know, we talk shop, we have fun, but we mostly just get together, you know, like it's just like, it, you know, it's like going to that the family, I hate to put it in this context, but the family funeral or the family wedding, you know, like where you didn't see your cousins for the past year, but then as soon as you see each other, it's like you haven't been apart, you know. And I think that's always been the thing I love the most about there, and being able to go there, and you know, and just and then as you branch off and grow, and you go to these other conferences, mm-hmm. you get to see those same people again. Like, you know, you and I were hanging in Missouri just a few months ago, you know, or however the hell you say it, Missouri, you know, but you know, down there, you know,
the
show me state. Yeah. But no, but it, you know, like that stuff in itself is like, I can't even put it into words, and you know me, Priz, like I'm never speechless. I'm a man of many words, you know, but it just is like, I love that. I just love being able to catch up with the guys that you haven't seen since last year, and you know, making those lifelong relationships. It's just, it's very nice. It's like, I can't compare it to anything else because I've never had that experience outside of what I've gotten from being able to go there, you know, having people like you as part of my life,
right.
You know, and you know, and the many others, you know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's very nice. It's very rewarding to have that. So I'm excited I'm going to be able to teach. I love that I'm going to be able to present, you know, I'm excited that whoever's able to come into the room and sit there, it's great, but I just want to be there. You know, like I just love being there.
The week perfectly there, because week and every other previous week that I've ever been fortunate to be there. But it's so true, because, you know, it goes by quick, but it's an awesome experience again. And you mentioned something I just want to quickly touch on is, you know, you put in to speak at FDIC for a number of years before getting accepted. You know, a lot of times people ask me the same question. I don't have all the answers, but I put in for, I think it was either like 4 or 5 years in a row, starting like 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8, before I finally got accepted in 2009, you know. So, you know, a lot of people, I think, may give up after 1 or 2 years or think, hey, so, you know, it happens. And I think that's the real key, is if it's something you want to do and you have a passion for sharing, you got to be persistent in it. And, you know, and I think so, I want to share, don't give up to people, you know. I mean, I don't take it for granted every year that I'm fortunate to be able to come back and present a session or two when the opportunity arises. But good things come to those who wait and who continue focusing on, you know, the future, I guess, and not giving up.
Yeah. Amen. That's very beautifully put. Well, I'll end it there. I you know, I appreciate you calling in and passing on them nuggets, and for everybody. Oh, and then also, I don't remember the day, Priz, you know, as long as you're not tied up with well, actually, you might remember, because I remember you checked your schedule to make sure you weren't doing autographs. I'm going to have you on the live from FDIC, the one that I'm doing. So I don't remember what day or time it is, but anyway, if you don't, then I'll know it when I get out there, and we'll coordinate it. But for those that are listening, you know, yeah, I'll have you on my live from FDIC show. Yeah. And we'll be talking about what's going on out there, covering basically the same stuff we're covering now, except we'll be there. So it'll be even more exciting. But you know, thank you for calling in. Thank you for always being you. And thanks to Mellon for him calling in. And for everybody listening, including my guys at work, I'm going to give them a quick shout-out, because they're texting me all these crazy things the whole time, you know, just to trip me up. Just to trip me up, you know. One of them just texts now, Rosie just texts me, more better. You know, just, so, it, but they do this every time. There you go. And I got another one that I'm not going to mention, the text message. It's an emoji, but anyway. They do it every time, but I love that. It's nice to have that support. They break my balls about it, but they cheer me on about it, which is it's always a nice thing to have, So I am. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to miss them, but I'm looking forward to seeing everybody that that I haven't seen and just talking shop and having fun. We're going to be together all week, you know that, so I'll see you basically every night.
Oh, yeah.
Just thank you. And anybody that's listening, if you can't get out to FDIC this year, keep trying. The nice thing is they run some programs where they have the scholarship where they will send mm-hmm. somebody out there and they'll pay for that, and that's nice. And there's always ways to find a way to get out there. It is honestly, it's a great experience. It's a great opportunity. It's a great cadre of instructors, and it's just awesome to be there. And then if you're an instructor, my two guests were talking about tonight, keep trying. I tried it for a few times. Priz, you tried for a few times. I know Melon tried a few times, and we were fortunate, and we try again. We literally reapply and resubmit every year, and we're all like at the edge of our seat, looking at Facebook to see who's posting the screenshot of the email congratulations, just because we're like, I know it's around that time. I didn't hear it yet, and then you're texting each other, hey, did you hear anything? And because we want to go. So we're all that excited. We're on the edge of our seat wondering if we got accepted again, So it is that big of a deal. I hope people that are listening are going to be there. Hope to see you guys the whole week. If you're not able to go, just keep trying. And that's it. Priz, I love you, man. I appreciate you. Being the guest tonight and making the show a success. It was like, 20 minutes before the show start and you were able to commit to it, and Melon was able to commit to it, and that's true brotherhood. I appreciate that. So thank you guys.
Oh, my pleasure, brother. Appreciate the opportunity. Teamwork is best.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for me. Love everybody. Stay safe. This has been Dave McGlynn with Networking for Success Fire Engineering Podcast, and I hope to be able to see you guys out at FDIC. And if not, tune in on FDIC.com or FDIC International, whatever the website is, and fireengineering.com. And there'll be a ton of updates, and you'll see me and Chief Priz will be on my Live from FDIC show, and then Mellon's doing one again, and I'll be on his. I know that, so... there'll be a ton of content to be shared through social media and through the internet. So take care, everybody. Love yous. Be safe.